Dasnik, 620. And everybody's wiped out today. Everybody's wiped out.
Our endorphins kicked in. Well, okay.
Good. Yeah, that's enough.
Well, she had to tell me, though.
I've just sort of concluded that the people that don't need this class are here.
Where's Bruce?
Bruce is not here. And those of you that are here, I do think are getting the message, because already twice today I've been told to act my age. And we've had a couple of fun blocker comments here. So you're getting the message, and it's one worth hanging on to. As I attend all of the classes, you know, you just pick up and you just stretch and you just grow and learn in so many new dimensions. And in Dan's class, I was thinking about the wilderness and all of those different philosophies of life and lifestyles and so forth. And so I, of course, bought his book today and was just browsing through it. And I thought something that I just hit on sort of ties in exactly with what we're talking about, only in a sort of a different light. But a reality worth dropping all other commitments to joyfully receive. The reality of joy, the spirit within. Dropping all other commitments. And so when we say we drop a lot of commitments, we've talked about a lot of those in a different way. Fun blockers are other commitments that, you know, we can drop those things. And he goes on to say where even rich people and big deals were. I'm sure you all remember this, but and if you think of the words that I'll be reading from his book and think of them in terms of joy and having fun with yourself, with others around you, friends and family, and it's right on. All of these people were invited, yes, touched, healed, forgiven, included, liberated, you've talked about that, freedom of the spirit, cleansed, made whole, received, affirmed, held, given dignity, honored, loved, embraced, fed, reborn, and freed. And those are perfect choices for falling in fun. All of those can be applied to that inner light that we can let shine. I thought that was fun to find. I think one of the things that we've sort of built up to what we were going to talk about tonight, and that is getting started on letting your fun happen. And I'm going to relate a story about my sister. Her name is Lee. She's 2 years younger than I am. I have to be careful here, because I love her and we get along. But she's very different than I am, so you have to just know that. She has been born, or has chosen, I'm not sure, I'm still struggling with trying to decide, with a lack of initiative. And we need initiative, don't we, if we're going to light that light, get that candle going. We have to have initiative. And she is one person in my life that has zip. And so she is my younger sister, has sort of leaned on me our whole life, you know, depended on me. And I'm always stand up out here. And several years ago, when she's with me, she is a kick. I mean, she even drinks a glass of wine and will just have a wonderful time. Let herself go. The minute she gets back home to Joliet, Illinois, and how can you blame her not for being, there. But she just settles into, she's lived in the same house for 40 years and, is doing the same thing, has the same friends, blah, 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 which a lot of people do. That's okay. So, several years ago, after she had left a trip to visit me and gone back home, she said, I need some ideas on how you live. How can I do that? I said, okay, every week on Monday morning, I will put in the mail some little things for you to do this week. So for 6 weeks, I sent her these little notes. And I said things such as, I can't remember, but I remember some of them, like, get out of bed on the opposite side of the bed in the morning for a whole week. You get out over here, okay, then get up over there, every day, just to, trying to shake her up, drive to work in a different way. You go this way to work, I know she goes the same way every day, so take another view, find a pretty view, go down by the river and go around that way, so it takes 10 minutes more, do it, just get something perking here. Eat your dessert first. Go for it. Eat your dessert first. Why not? All her life, she's never had a coffee table in her living room. I don't know why, but, I just think you have to have a place to either put your feet or your coffee or books or whatever. I said, buy a coffee table. this is one thing to do. Invite someone you hardly know to lunch. And she's very apprehensive about that, I know. So on and on, you get the idea. And I would send her things. Every Monday morning, I'd send off this little letter of things to do this week. She did everything, that was on that. I thought, okay, maybe we'll get a spark, As long as those things were coming at her, she was doing them. The minute I stopped, back to the rut. Outside the bed over here, drive to work, And I don't think she ever bought a coffee table. So, and I thought, I'm really pushing it here because I have no right to even do this to her, But I was just, it was in a spirit of good-natured fun, really. And it was hard for me to accept that she had to have it come from the outside. Because I'm such an inside-out person, it's hard for me to realize that there are people that need this outside-in stuff, So, I don't know, I haven't the answer to that. Does anybody have any comments? How far do you push the river? I think, we're all pretty much responsible from the inside out. So now I just send her my love and all of this stuff. She is a very loving, very giving, wonderful person. But just can't get that light lit. And she's an artist, and I'm describing her, but I'm also describing probably lots of people right? There's a lot of people like this. And so she just happens to be very near and dear to me, and I would love to see that light lit because I know it's there. She's a talented artist, does beautiful oil paintings, but do you think anybody ever sees them? Do I have one? Sitting in her house. Her basement is filled from ceiling to floor, wall to wall, with stuff from the last 25 years. And she said one time that, if I clean the basement, I won't have anything to do. So, and there are lots of people like that, hanging on to the stuff, And until we let go of the stuff and get to be of the spirit, we're not of the spirit.
I think I would buy her a week at Holden Village.
she would love to come, and she'd be wonderful while she was here, and go home and
back to her rest.
Yeah. See, that's every time she's with me, people can't believe she's just really up. So she just needs somebody, and there, I don't know. It is.
And yeah. She's single?
She's been divorced for a number of years at her choice. And so she's, you know, happy with that life. And so it's okay. It's okay. It's just fine. But I think it's just an example of, you know, my seeing a spark there that, you know, I want, and that's me. See, that's my spark that I'm trying to get up in her. So the moral of the story is everybody's going at their own pace and it's okay. So when I'm spouting off all this stuff, you know, if you don't feel like it, that's fine too, you know, I don't care. But we are all very different. Each has to go at their own pace. But then I always say, do we have to spend our whole life waiting? You know, I always got to get that little jab in there, you know. Don't wait, because life is short. I want to talk about different kinds of fun. To practice fun starters, and I guess this is what made me relate the story about Lee, because I felt I was trying to be a fun starter for her, I guess. Be ready for fun, open to it, willing to let fun happen. To allow yourself to be open to fun, you may need to lighten your mood. Let go of tension, whirling thoughts, assignments, and problems. Letting go is a prerequisite to fun. Stop and listen to peaceful music or nature sounds, bird sounds, or meadow sounds, or the wash of waves. Don't you love the water sounds here? God, that is so therapeutic. We were on the boat today to Stehekin, or sitting down here on the dock, and that just, it's just wonderful sounds. Relax and give yourself permission to have fun. And Dan, tonight I told him that I had got his book and I wanted him to autograph it for me tomorrow. He said, oh, you'll be happy to hear. I had fun today. He said, I was sitting on a log and I pretended it was the horse. Yes. That was perfect. Lighten your load. Let go of your too tight schedule. Unburden yourself, at least temporarily, of your daily routines. Break free and open up to the possibility of fun. This too tight schedule, you know, what I said yesterday, the first sign of a nervous breakdown is when you begin to feel your work is important. And so, you know, you really need to take a close look at that. 100 years from now, who's going to care what kind of a job you're doing today? But 100 years from now, you know, my heart will know. get the perspective, priorities straight. Lighten your outlook. Savor the excitement of an upcoming event. Do you remember when you were a child and anticipation was half the fun? Try to recall and recreate that open to fun feeling. Christmas was how many years away? We've been talking about the idea of light in each one of us, and this book, as I explained at the beginning, has been changed a bit to be more for couples. And so here are some things that we felt about fun, examples of her idea of fun and his idea of fun. Her idea of fun: the opera, skiing, the kids' soccer games, going out to dinner, long walks on the beach. His idea of fun: a baseball game, skiing, the kids' soccer games, reading at home in front of the fire, and short walks in the woods. So, their idea of fun: skiing, the kids' soccer games, and medium-sized walks in a beachside cove. There are ways to compromise. Which of the others' discovered fun are you willing to try? Which activities can be compromised or modified slightly so that you both can enjoy them? Which will probably remain your individual pursuits of fun? You'll have more fun together if you have fun apart. If you're not exclusive fun pals, counting solely on each other for fun. Often said that Oh, I won't say it. Yes, I will. I think I need a man in the Navy. He's gone 6 months and he's home for 2 weeks. But boy, will we have fun for those 2 weeks. Alternating fun. If your kinds of fun don't always match and you want to be together, try alternating fun, the things you love to do and the things that he or she loves to do, things that you are less enthusiastic about. If you're planners, budget your fun. Balance your days or evenings with fun, with his or her fun. But always allow for more of the kind of fun that you enjoy both together. And then there's honest fun. If there is something you want to do, be honest. Make your wishes known. See how he or she feels about it. And if it's the kind of fun you agree on, share it. If you don't agree to share it, explain that you'll do it by yourself, without resentment, happily, because you can enjoy your separate fun. You, as an individual, are responsible for generating your own feelings of fun. So again, it's kind of a trade-off. Fun for grown-ups. Adult relationships don't have to be predictable or unexciting. Have the courage to change your appearance, your routine, or your tone of voice. If you have only one important thing going for you in your relationship, let it be an attitude of fun. Without it, there's no laughter, no polka, no reason to get up in the morning. Commit random acts of novelty. Leave notes in her lunch, on his mirror, on her pillow, in the car. Have breakfast for dinner, breakfast in bed, or breakfast at the beach. Wear crazy pajamas. Take the scenic route instead of the freeway. Plant something tropical. Try an exotic recipe together. And I love the little illustration here. It's he and she in long john pajamas with little hearts all over it. And they've got teddy bears.
Yeah, years ago somebody gave me a pair of underwear, you know, with little hearts for
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Sure.
Years ago.
Oh, they're still doing that, Tom.
Are they still doing that? Yeah, warm, but you don't want anything left of them. Warm down to one heart, huh? Yeah.
Oh, hell. Okay. Monogamous doesn't have to be monotonous. Funning interference. Sometimes it's hardest to have fun with someone you live with. Do you allow yourself to be irritated by lights left on, the out-of-balance checkbook, or the pile of dirty socks thrown about the floor? Such irritations may be funning interference in your life. Let fun start with an attitude of gratitude, focused on what a great friend she is or how much he loves you and the kids. After all, what's most important, love, friendship, or dirty socks? Let perspective be your backdrop for fun. We talked a little bit about this the other night in terms of fun blockers, but when we get to a certain place, we have to really protect our little light that's going to shine and protect your fun shine. Okay, how can we do that? Let me ask you.
Say that again.
We're talking about fun blockers like that. But how, when we have our light shining, how can we protect it?
I thought about something today. It was struck me as a major fun blocker. It was the word compulsory. And things become compulsory. So protection is to minimize or eliminate those things that you feel are compulsory. Mm-hmm. In the sense that there's a aversion or a chore or heaviness. Some things that are compulsory things that we can change perspective on and have a good time, but that's the word that I want to think about in terms of fun blocker. That's the word compulsory.
So try to have more wants in your life than need to's or have to's. I want to do this instead of I have to.
I want to do the dishes.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, turn on some music and dance around the kitchen, you know?
Well, I discover when I'm reading too much or doing too much paperwork, I really want to do the dishes. It's a good therapy.
Exactly. Yeah. So here again, we're talking balance. Balance. This compulsory. Yeah, go ahead.
When someone is trying to block out your fun, you can laugh about it.
Right.
They'll laugh too. Maybe.
And if they don't, that's their problem, isn't it? The word compulsory really struck me because working in Aspen for these big-time corporate people, they would say such things as, well, we're having a meeting at 5, and then at 5:30 you come in and we're going to tell you what to do.
Weren't you the president?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. This is the board of directors, see. And, you know, they worked at you, they didn't work with you. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I felt like I was being summoned. Mm-hmm. And this is the, you know, that compulsory kind of feels like I'm being summoned, like, you know, I'm on trial here, you know. And but this is, you know, a lot of people weigh their way of handling situations like that, where they're afraid to let them be in a relationship with you as a person. It has to be, I am the head of this, and, you know, jump through the hoop, you know? And even in corporate America, we're having, you know, family-friendly conferences for all of our employees, how to relate better from management on down. And I think it's really important because people are going to work themselves silly for you if they're, you know, feeling a part of the team instead of being summoned, or this is compulsory and, you know, you are really being watched.
Does your board never pick up that point?
They never would.
No, right? So
no.
Teaching business colleges haven't been teaching that for a few hundred years.
I know.
Just like my boss would come and ask me, he would ask me to do a job, not tell me to do a job.
See?
That is, they never come and tell me. He always asks me.
Uh-huh. Well, how that make you feel?
As an employer.
That's real good.
Yeah, that's real
good. I feel
good.
Important to him.
Sure.
And I do just more extra.
Mm-hmm.
More hard.
Right.
I do it harder.
Exactly.
When I was an employer, sometimes on Monday mornings the crew would drag in, a small crew, and I'd say, we're just going to skip our sales meeting, our FIT meeting this morning, we're going to have an attitude adjustment. And I'd get them laughing and it'd be okay then.
Mm-hmm.
Like at Desna, when I work in the office, I have, you know, the baskets and stuff, but I have on the top, there's this guy, and I don't know his name, but he owns several companies, and I had it blown up. He says, we have a new approach to work here, and it's to have fun. And he's built several successful companies, yes, glamorous companies, and one of their guiding principles is work is supposed to be fun. And then there's a song out, by Lou Rawls. Have you heard Lou Rawls' song? It's supposed to be fun.
No.
Have you ever heard a song by Lou Rawls?
No.
It's a nice, catchy song.
Hmm.
It's supposed to be fun. It's a real nice song.
And is it about work, or is it about, well, it's about life, or what?
It's about this relationship he has with this woman, you know, it ain't happening. And he says, we're supposed to get along like bees and honey. It's supposed to be fun.
Oh,
really
I
nice
like
show.
That. I'll have
yeah,
to get that.
It's a nice show. Lou Rawls.
Well, we were just talking about that today. The only reason to be together is have fun together. If that isn't happening, it's... No. any other comments on compulsory or...
Well, you know, one of the things that strikes me is that it's fun, and then there's fun and frivolous.
Mm-hmm. Because fun is associated with frivolous.
Right.
It a lot of times someone says been taken too seriously and being responsible. But fun doesn't have to necessarily mean being irresponsible.
No.
And fun doesn't have to be frivolous. You know, and as we grow and mature, mm-hmm. the things that are fun for us can be fun and at the same time be responsible and, you know, it doesn't have to be. And I think that's why fun gets a bad rap, because we think right. of it as frivolous or you've been irresponsible or you're not acting your age. But there's this new attitude about how fun and the energy that it emanates is actually right. one of the most responsible things that you can do to create the proper energy around yourself and the people you're working with. And that's what this guy's built his mm-hmm. thing on, having mm-hmm. fun. Mm-hmm. You know, putting people in positions that they really want to be in.
Exactly, and if they don't, do something about it.
Put them somewhere else, somewhere where they really want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I'm probably one of the most responsible people you'd ever want to meet. Extremely responsible. But I just, you know, I can't get sucked into it. And, you know, I can't do it. I can do a very serious job and a very unpleasant job, but somehow, you know, the heart is light. And so, you know, it has nothing to do at all with being frivolous, mm-hmm. except the fact that I do want to have a food fight. Anybody up for a food fight? You know, she almost got a strawberry at dinner tonight. My two grandchildren are the only two people that have said yes, you know, when I said I wanted to have a food fight. Somewhere, sometime before I leave, we were talking about that tonight, I want to have a food fight.
Are you scheduled for Garble?
Hey! Oh! Oh! Yes! Next Wednesday is my day!
Let's warn the crew. Or let's not warn the crew.
I'm going to have to hand-pick the crew. Okay. You can react in many ways to people's attitudes of fun. And here we're talking about protecting your fun shine and some excuses. Well, I don't have anything to wear. Is there anybody here that hasn't used that? I've never done that before. I won't fit in. What will people think? I'm too old and too young. It will be too crowded. Oh, I use that one because I don't like big crowds. They won't miss me if I don't go. Boy, my dad used to say that all the time. They won't even know I'm not there, you know. The family picnic. Of course we'll miss him. You know, but that is an excuse a lot of people use. For these people, you can leave them under their clouds. You can like them in spite of themselves. You can complain and commiserate along with them. You can try gently to pry them out from under their gloom into the fun. You may be surprised that these people have fun streaks after all. Okay, let's talk about that. Think of some person that isn't fun, that you know personally. Will a little budge or a little nudge help that? Kind of a, you know.
Kind of like your sister, maybe for a while.
Okay.
I was thinking, I've had the experience of feeling, not agreeable, you know, and then somebody come along and make some funny remark, you know, and I say, that's not funny. And then, something else, you know. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it ended up that both of us were laughing our hands off because
somebody gave you a little nudge.
Yeah.
Yes. How, you know, when we live with people like this, that's another story, isn't it? To try and to change that. I have a very dear friend who has a husband who is very gloomy, who sleeps all the time and is a great provider and, you know, all the basics, but is really gloom person.
A bore.
And, yeah, he's boring, I'll say that. And she has decided to make her own life. And she is just out, you know, having a wonderful life. And, you know, there's two sides to that. I think it must drive him nuts. I mean, I feel sorry for him to look at her having a wonderful life and lots of friends and all this, but she has decided to lighten up and to get with the program or he's going to lose a wonderful woman. So I'm sure we all know situations like that.
Sounds like he's depressed.
Mm-hmm. He's been like that for years, you know? And he's really nice about it. He's just, you know, a sweet guy, just real sweet, but just really kind of always pessimistic, always, you know, afraid things are going to happen. And they usually do, you know.
He's depressed.
Yeah.
Because I was there.
Yeah, I'm sure we're all there. But for years, you know, and it's really hard to help people. It has to sort of come from inside. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
One of the things that strikes me is, you know, we have to be careful about how we label people, because people have fun in different ways.
Right.
Some people's fun is bubbly and outgoing,
right,
and, you know, energetic. But some people have fun in a quiet, calm, mellow kind of way.
Absolutely.
And their fun may be as valid to them.
To them.
They showed a picture,
right,
once of some Japanese watching some kind of funny movie. I don't know what it was. And through all the parts that Americans would laugh at, the Japanese just sat there. But they're more reserved culture.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's like people have fun putting together crossword puzzles and stuff.
Oh,
like,
yes,
that
is fun.
Picture puzzles.
Right.
Now, that's not my idea of having fun.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that's not valid for those people.
Right.
So, you know, to me, I have to be careful not to judge too quickly, mm-hmm, that person's experience.
Right.
Because they may be sitting there and being very quiet, mm-hmm, and be reliving something or mm-hmm, having a remembrance of something that was really a beautiful, mm-hmm, thing and mm-hmm, quietly having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's fun for me just to sit and be still.
Oh,
and
you,
do
bet.
A darn thing.
You bet.
You
bet. You know, I could go a long time without any excitement or anything and say, oh, God, it was really fun, you know, what we did or whatever. Oh, I don't mean to imply that at
all.
No,
I didn't say you were.
There's a difference between that and being depressed.
Depressed, right.
You know.
Right. Well, I assume that your friend and her husband need counseling.
She would like that.
And I hope before she walks out, she gives him that option.
He's not interested.
No, but if she were walking out as the opposite.
I don't think she'll walk out. They have four children. She's just decided her life is going to be joyous, and she's staying there, and that's fine. I'm just saying there's two sides to that. You know, she is not letting her light be diminished by his lack of that.
He doesn't believe in counseling? Is that what it is?
I don't think he thinks that it's necessary. You know.
He doesn't see
that he is, right,
where the problem is.
Right.
Most men feel that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I did too.
Yes, I know.
I did
and
too.
So
I
it's
I
very
thought it was
hard.
Unnecessary.
Right.
Until I started going to counseling.
Well, you're
I've
wise.
Been in counseling for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And you're happy?
I'm happy.
Yeah.
For once in my life, I am very happy.
Good for you. That's great.
I have everything going the right way.
Mm-hmm. Just keep it there. So, oh dear, how did we get into this now? Well, that's fine.
Some of us have
so.
Fun getting into these things.
I didn't hear that.
Some of us have fun just getting into these things.
Getting into this. I do. Yes, absolutely.
Some people only have fun when they're teasing somebody else.
Oh, yeah, that's not fun. No.
That's their
anything fun. Harms or, you know, is, you know, other people object to, that's not fun.
Yeah.
Life is never cloudless, but we can have fun in spite of the clouds. Okay, I think that's just about the end of what I had to some of these things, oh, this is funny. Enterprising fun. Imagination is part of fun. Do something out of the ordinary. Walk up the middle of a rocky stream. Has anybody done that today? Oh, that was, yes. Karen, are you staying awake?
Barely.
Poor thing.
It was a long walk.
Oh, I don't know how you did it.
Yes, we can have some fun.
Yes. Yes. And here's another one. Take a night off at a bed and breakfast inn. We've all done that maybe around here. It may be 3 or 30 miles from home, but you'll feel as though it's 300. Cook Italian, speak Italian, hug Italian, just for one night, just for fun. Surprising fun. And these, we've all had surprises. I mean, who was the girl this morning that saw, what'd she see? Three animals?
A bunny.
A bunny.
A deer.
A deer and a bear. I mean, isn't that wonderful?
Wow. What my camcorder.
I know. So surprises are part of fun. Coming upon an abandoned house at the end of a gravel road. Putting together an instant picnic. Sharing the discovery of some huge flower in the woods. So these things are not new to us. Everybody has their own way.
I have a question for the group, because I'm not really clear on it myself. The differences between fun, joy, happiness, I guess you can throw in peace in there. I mean, uh-huh. Are there differences? Is happiness the extended fun, or how does joy different? Mm-hmm. How's it different from fun, or how is mm-hmm. joy different from happiness, and where mm-hmm. does peace fit in, mm-hmm. into the whole mm-hmm. equation? And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just mm-hmm. curious about that.
Okay.
Fun is active.
I have my feeling on that. Can we have somebody else?
What? Fun is active.
Uh-huh. That's a good word for that. Uh-huh.
Is joy
can be active.
Yeah. I think joy is very inside, and it can be expressed actively.
Joy runs deep. To me, it's something that's
uh-huh.
way in there. It's not.
But every once in a while, it bubbles to the surface.
Yeah, but it's more of a
film.
Is fun joy expressed?
Mm-hmm. Could be.
It could be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Joy could also be expressed more peacefully too, I think, mm-hmm. more quietly.
A joy and peace and quiet.
I mean, joy is a state of existence. It's just the way of operating.
Mm-hmm. It's an attitude, maybe a mm-hmm. constant mm-hmm.
joy.
The way you think.
Mm-hmm.
Joy may be the inner strength of being at one with God deep within, mm-hmm. but at the time you may be going through hell
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
fire and pain,
mm-hmm.
but it keeps you going.
Happiness may be the secular version of joy. I mean, I'm just kind of talking out loud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think happiness mm-hmm. is an attitude and joy as emotional.
I get joy when I walk into the park
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the birds and the trees and the flowers, smell the roses.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
all that.
Sort of joy and happiness are sort of a serendipity of inner peace.
Mm-hmm. Maybe,
you know,
maybe.
When that's there, then all these things can, we're happy.
Yeah. I was just thinking, maybe joy and fun are attributes
mm-hmm. yeah, that's right.
of happiness.
Right. Manifestations of happiness.
Of happiness.
It's external, it's expressed, it's out there. Inner peace has to come first. when we're not at one, I mean, if we really want to get into it here, you know, one with God, and, you know, as a child, I took seriously what people taught me. And when they said God is love, okay. Now think, what is that? And we were talking in the art class this afternoon. What is your contemporary picture of God in your mind? What would you say? What is God? You know, and I said a vortex of energy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so if that vortex of energy is God, is love, is in me, if I'm connected with that, you know, that's the first deep step. And once you make connection there, that brings what? Peace, can be manifested in happiness, joy, fun, whatever. But without that deep touch, I'm going to call it grace, you know, connection, openness, receiving, blessed, all of these things, if you're not open to that and really experience that love as God, then all this fun stuff is bananas.
It's true.
You know, it's phony baloney. And you see people having fun, you know, wild party fun, mm-hmm. Looking for, mm-hmm. see?
Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
And that's the difference, right.
Trying
to make it, you know, let's have fun, guys, you know? Turn it on.
Mm. Pleasure is another word in there.
Pardon?
Pleasure is another word
right.
for the bundle.
Right. And so all the time we're seeking out there, mm-hmm. You know, just get it together first and you won't have to seek so hard. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, your question just brought us to focus exactly what we're talking about. And I think at the very beginning I tried to, you know, set that sort of a stage. But it's better for us to come to this, you know, that sure, we can have a heck of a good time. But when I'm not really focused or I'm not connected to my source, and whenever I get slightly off center, and you know what I mean, I say, okay, God is my source. God is my source, 1,000 times a day.
It's kind of like trying to mold a pot of clay.
Yes, exactly.
It gets off center, and boy, does it fall on itself.
Oh, it falls. God, I had that beautiful bowl, you know, because it got off center. And things fall when they're off center. And I fall when I'm off center. And I have to consciously make that effort.
We all do.
Right. When I say me, I'm saying everybody. We. We need to pull it and pull from that source.
There is a lonesome valley, but I think it's always good to be reminded that where two or three are gathered, and the Spirit mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. most frequently comes in community, mm-hmm. and most of the time when we lack these things, we need a small group or we need fellowship mm-hmm. with somebody to help us.
That feels also the need to be connected to the source.
Yes, and leads us not to simply seek this for ourselves, but
right.
to give.
Right, absolutely.
Love is not something we can hold on to.
No. Well, you know what happens? It becomes a fun blocker. We hang on to it, you know? It's kind of selfish thing. Since I've moved to Washington, I think I mentioned this before, I've been visiting a lot of churches, trying to find a place where I would feel comfortable and wanting to serve, because I feel that need exactly, that I need to be with groups of people that are, you know, trying to be or are connected or whatever. The secular world just doesn't have it, you know? And you can just do all the stuff out there. You can shop till you drop. You can do whatever you want to do. And it just doesn't have it. You need to have, you know, when two or three are gathered in his name. It's, for me, a very meaningful experience. And
for me, happiness is being useful.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You've got to keep it flowing, keep it flowing, keep it coming. And so, okay.
One more thing.
Yes.
You raised a real interesting point for me. You said something to the fact that sometimes we look back on experiences and realize that we were having fun. Mm-hmm. But at the time of the experience, mm-hmm. we weren't. It wasn't a conscious sense of having fun. It was only in the remembrance of it. It says, boy, that was a lot of fun. But during it, it might have been challenging, it may have been threatening, mm-hmm. it may have been anxiety-producing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when you look back on it, it's like, well, I had a ball.
That's great.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh.
You know, one day I was thinking that if we're looking for fun or joy alone, it fades out, even though you originally have it. But if you can't share it, mm-hmm. loses impact.
Some fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun I have by myself. So, when I first met you, Dan, we should have connected on that again. We were talking about the religious joy and bliss mm-hmm. as opposed to concentrating so much on the suffering of Christ. Right. And, you know, do you have anything you want to say about that? Or?
Well, it kind of goes back to our, mm-hmm. you know, kind of viewing fun as being irresponsible.
Right. Oh, that's what we got into.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, from our origins, our religious origins, at least from my religious origin, in Catholicism, a lot of the focus, mm-hmm. and I don't mean it's judgmental, just
right,
in terms
just
of how I'm seeing
fact,
it,
right.
a lot of the focus was on the crucifixion and the suffering. And I was always wondering, why not give a lot more credence to the resurrection, the overcoming, mm-hmm. the victory? But mm-hmm. because we've so nobilized suffering mm-hmm. as the thing to do and to be,
that's a virtue.
That's a virtue.
You know, let's suffer.
That in opposition to that, we feel that fun is non-virtuous.
Right.
So we don't pour into
it. Have that freedom
in
there.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody else have any comments on that, or thoughts or feelings about it? And I've always sort of felt that.
I like the idea of thinking positive instead of the negative.
That's what it is, exactly.
Is that where clown services came from? Clown services? Yeah, sort of. Now, it's only happened once in the church I'm going to. It's only happened once since I went to church.
Tell us about it.
A clown ministry? When they came out, when they did the service, it was mime. They had music on.
Oh,
they
yes.
just acted it up.
Yes.
They all had clown makeup on and clown shoes and clown
mm-hmm,
suits.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
gave away balloons. And
was that like for one Sunday?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Wonderful. They do things like that at the church in California.
But they do that to get
The joy, maybe?
The joy
the celebration.
Instead of the...
Could be.
Yeah,
I don't know. Anybody else have any other comments? Okay, tomorrow is Friday, right? We don't have a thing tomorrow. And Saturday, I'm going to... the topic will be things I want to do for fun before I leave. So I'll be thinking about that. You won't
have anything for Friday.
Other people won't be here.
I won't have anything for Friday.
There's not a class. I don't have a class on Friday.
Yeah, so
yeah, there will be a lot. So I may be here by myself. That's
fine.
Huh? Pardon?
I didn't say
that. Oh.
I was wondering if you wanted to do that.
Yes. So now that we've kind of gotten serious here, forget that. We're going to get back to the manifested fun part. So please join us We're going to move some furniture here a bit. And Dan, help me with
sounds
this.
Sounds like a fun block.
This yesterday at the staff, were any of you there for the staff, operations staff?
Yeah, I was there.
That you were there, so you know what we're going to do.
This again?
You want to be first?
Well, maybe we'll explain it. There's a theater game, actually, and it's designed to produce a sense of unity and camaraderie and oneness in the group. And it's called the Human Sound Machine. And you can't take yourself too seriously. What you do is you make a movement and you make a sound to accompany the movement. And then one person starts making a movement. So if you're like this, it's like a and then somebody else watches it and comes up with a connective sound and movement. So one person starts making whatever kind of movement, it can be anything, and it's the sound that you feel goes with the movement, and someone else comes up and kind of in a joining kind of connective way makes another movement or the sound. And pretty soon you have all these human sound machines happening. So who wants to start with the first one? Just a sound of movement.
Yes, okay. Wow, you're so good, Dan.
Now somebody
okay, come on,
watches and comes okay, in and got to join
it. Keep going.
Oh, thank you very much. That was a wonderful machine.